From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message in a series expounding one of the most blessed and beloved passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ in the Sight of God and of Man. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a little bit. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional bears the title, Mercy to the Undeserving. The text is Psalm 32 and verse 10. He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. O fair reward of trust, my Lord, grant it me to the full. The truster above all men feels himself to be a sinner, and lo, mercy is prepared for him. He knows himself to have no deservings, but mercy comes in and keeps house for him on a liberal scale. O Lord, give me this mercy, even as I trust in thee. Observe, my soul, what a bodyguard thou hast. As a prince is compassed about with soldiery, so art thou compassed about with mercy. Before and behind, and on all sides, ride these mounted guards of grace. We dwell in the center of the system of mercy, for we dwell in Christ Jesus. O my soul, what an atmosphere dost thou breathe! As the air surrounds thee, even so does the mercy of thy Lord. To the wicked there are many sorrows, but to thee there are so many mercies that thy sorrows are not worth mentioning. David says, Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. In obedience to this precept, my heart shall triumph in God, and I will tell out my gladness. As thou hast compassed me with mercy, I will also compass thine altars, O my God, with songs of thanksgiving.
My burden gladly bearing,
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues his series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In this second verse of the chapter, we find one of the clearest statements in Scripture of man's wicked rejection of Christ. As Dr. Cairns is showing, Christ enjoyed the approbation of his Father, for he always did those things that pleased the Father. At the same time, Christ endured the reprobation of men, for they saw no beauty in him. Now, to continue this message entitled, Christ in the Sight of God and of Man, here is Dr. Cairns.
We are not here to explain the miracle of the virgin birth, but we are here to admire it. We are here to say, here is the one who is the root out of the dry ground. When you stop to think of that too, you'll see that these characteristics of his weakness and then his progress and his perfection not being dependent upon the soil in which he was planted, These characteristics are not only personally evident in the life of Christ, but they are always evident in the progress of Christ and his gospel through the world. How has the gospel made its progress? Christ chose apostles, not armies. Muhammad had great success. He imposed his religion at the edge of a sword. Jesus Christ imposed his religion at the end of a sword, but it was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel. It appeared to be total weakness. When you think of the society in which Christ sent his disciples to preach, when you think of the mighty Roman Empire, you think of the debauchery that was widespread through the decadence of Rome. You think of all the social and religious evil that was in the world. And how did Jesus Christ combat it? By the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen again. By the preaching of justifying grace through faith in that Christ. Then many a theological argument over the early church's attitude to slavery. And people have stumbled. Why did Paul, when he was dealing with Onesimus, why did he not take the opportunity to launch a mighty manifesto against slavery? Why did he merely deal with certain ramifications of the doctrine of our oneness in Christ? And then send Onesimus back to his master. Why did he seem to countenance slavery? The Apostle Paul, inspired of God the Holy Ghost, knew better than the social engineers who have thought that he ought to have been a Martin Luther King and said, "I have a dream." Paul had better than a dream. He had dynamite. He had the gospel. I want to tell you, when Paul sent Onesimus back, and he says, "I'm sending him not just as a servant, but I'm sending him as a brother." When Paul established in the hearts of God's people the mighty truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he did more to undermine the Roman system of tyrannical slavery than all his political manifestos would ever have done. And it's a simple fact of history that within a few centuries, that gospel had prevailed. Every political challenge to Rome failed. And until many centuries later, every military challenge to Rome failed. But the gospel of Jesus Christ brought thousands, then tens of thousands, then millions under the mighty sway and scepter of Christ their King. And it was that that changed Europe. It was that that changed the world. You think of it also in terms of the gospel's progress, that Christ never draws his success from the ground in which he's operating. Think of your own life. The success of the gospel didn't depend on the goodness of your heart. In fact, all that has been produced by grace has been produced despite the soil that was in your heart and life. That's how the Lord works. And I think it's good that we should get that in our hearts and minds. We have too often, I think, fallen into the unbelief, and that's really what it is, of limiting God Almighty to the circumstances. Oh, the gospel would be very successful if only some peripheral circumstances were different. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not of the opinion that Christians should have no input into the peripheral circumstances. I've never believed that, and I still don't believe it. I don't believe that Christians should sit back and simply say, let their country go to the devil, and let their government go to the devil, and let every ungodly rascal have a free run. I'm not of that persuasion. But I am saying this, never let us limit our God to the circumstances, to the situation, because you'll find that the greatest revivals in history have always been produced by the power of God the Holy Spirit when the prevailing circumstances seemed most inauspicious. You go back to the days of the Reformation. Rome was no weaker in the days of Luther than it had been a few years earlier, in the days of Savonarola and in the days of Huss and Jerome of Prague. Rome was just as powerful. Now you can, with hindsight, you can see various social and political movements, and there were national and international tensions that the Lord used to help Luther along. I have no doubt that that's true, because God, thank the Lord, is in control of nations and their rulers and their people. But there had been such tensions in days gone by. And on a human level, you would have to say Rome was powerful enough to have crushed that little German monk. Some people disbelieve the dream that the Elector Frederick had. I think it comes on good authority, and I'm happy to believe it. But he had the dream. Right at the very beginning of Luther's ministry, of a lonely monk writing with a huge quill that stretched all the way from Germany to the Vatican itself. And he said he saw that quill knock the crown, the tiara, from off the brow of the Pope. That dream came true, but I want to tell you that's what it was. It was just a quill. It was not an army. It was just a quill, just a pen, as far as men could see. There was nothing in the circumstances that would have led you to think there was going to be the greatest revival since Pentecost, but there was. And I want to tell you, whatever the darkness of the 20th century, I believe that God can send revival. He grew up before him as a tender plant, as the root out of the dry ground. Thank God, Christ is still glorious in the sight of his Father, and his cause will prosper. Our time has just about gone. I had intended to say all that in the first 5 minutes and get on to the body of the message. So I'll have to turn it all around and finish fairly quickly. The approbation of God, he grew up in the sight of Jehovah. The reprobation of men, he hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Will you notice that the very things that God approved, men abominated? They rejected Christ, for he was just a twig. He was not a mighty tree. The Jews were looking for a mighty man of valor. They were looking for a great deliverer. And when he came in this lowly form, they abominated him. His mean and lowly birth was something that they mocked, jeered, and rejected. His obscure development, he grew up before God, but not before men. Oh yes, in his home locality, he grew in favor with men. Even blinded sinners could see something special about the child Christ Jesus. But as far as the nation was concerned, their reaction was, search and see. Out of Nazareth ariseth no prophet. And of course, he had no worldly pomp or magnificence. And I'll tell you what really turned the Jews to such violent hatred against Christ was, as far as they could see when they looked at him, he held no promise of worldly advance. Oh, these same foolish people had followed many another so-called Messiah. And if he had told them, take up your swords, we're going to fight for the liberty of Jerusalem. They would have died following him. But this Christ appeared to offer no worldly advance, and therefore they abominated him. How true it is today. Men, maybe even in this meeting, boys and girls along with them, they set the goal of certain worldly attainment before them. They have in their mind the things that they're going to pursue. And Jesus Christ doesn't fit the picture. He doesn't appear to hold out to you the kind of worldly advancement that your heart is looking for. Therefore, you see no form, no comeliness in Christ. This text ends with a terrible and a damning confession. When we saw him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. That's an awful statement. Let me show you just how terrible a statement that is. Go back to Isaiah 52 in verse 14. His visage was marred more than any man. Do you see those words? His visage was marred more than any man. Now turn to the words of our text. When we saw him, there was no beauty. It is the very same word. There was no visage. When we saw him, there was nothing in the face of Jesus Christ that we should desire him. That's why I say, to me, that's the blackest, most damning statement of man's depravity and blindness that you'll find in the Bible. What are they saying? They're saying, we looked into the face of Jesus Christ and we saw nothing of interest, nothing of attraction, nothing of beauty, nothing that we would desire. They saw the face of Christ. This is prophetic of the Jews of Christ's day. They saw the face of Christ radiant with love for the lost, but their hearts were unmoved. They saw the face of Christ soft with sympathy for the suffering, but it meant nothing to them. They saw the face of Christ solemn with grief over sin and its results, and yet they saw nothing to attract them to that face. They saw the face of Christ stern with judgment on sin, and yet there was no movement of godly fear in their heart to desire to be reconciled to Christ. They saw that face stained with tears as he wept over Jerusalem. But they hadn't learned to weep. They cared nothing for the tear-stained face of Jesus. They saw the face of Christ caked with the blood from wrestling with hell in Gethsemane. I want you never to forget that. When the Lord Jesus stood before the Jewish leaders, then when he stood before Pontius Pilate, then when he was brought out before the crowd, his face was masked with his own blood. After every pore had burst forth, and he sweat great drops of blood in Gethsemane. And as they looked on the blood-soaked face of Jesus Christ, they saw no beauty.
You You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.